We're going to call the order. February 4th. Approval of the minutes of the previous meeting. Yeah, we'll do a roll call. We'll do a roll call. Let's see, we have Gabe, Rick, myself.
James Calderfoot's not here.
Ah, there we go.
Hello.
Here comes our quorum.
Now we have a quorum.
All right.
So we have Supervisor Nudo, Dodge, Elverman, and Noble in attendance. No union governance. So yes. Oh, Ashley, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
James Calder.
I'm sorry. That's our roll call so far. Approval of the minutes of the previous meeting.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the minutes of the previous meeting. Any discussion or changes? Otherwise, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? You the governance, Ashley?
Approved.
Chairman, committee members, supervisors, youth and governing comments. I just have a couple things I'm going to hit on, and it'll be open for feedback here, from especially from John. As most of you know, John's been talking about this youth fishing derby. He brought me some posters because we were running low out in the couple places that people wanted them. That's going to be on the 16th of February, and John's been doing, he'll tell you, he's been doing a whole lot of work on that. He's also going to tell you about the work he's done on the aquatic improvements we wanted to talk about out at the Katy Park. But one thing I want to mention, and it might take a couple meetings before John's comfortable with it, but a lot of this, the county board and the committee did work this year on acquiring some new property that is Parks Department. And none of you probably have seen it. It's it does have a very good meeting room, and I was thinking that we should probably have a meeting there, this meeting, so that people can see the facility. People from the committee that you know, worked on all the voting on the bonding and the grants. So, if you don't think, John, that you know, it would work by next month, if you'd feel more comfortable. But boy, as slick as that meeting room is, I think we could probably do it.
Yeah. No, we should be able to. Got the bathrooms running and everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But I think it'd be kind of nice for everybody to see it. And I'm only 3 minutes from home.
Yeah.
That works even better.
You got a conflict of interest.
So if the if John is favorable to that, if the committee would not mind, I'd like to have our next facilities, Highway Parks, meeting there. It's only 15 minutes from here.
I don't object.
Pardon?
Could it be in April instead?
Why is that?
I'm not going to be at the next meeting, so.
Oh, sure.
Mm.
Yeah.
Possible?
Of course. April?
April?
Yeah. So Gabe can be here.
Okay.
Mike. Mike, what we were just talking about was having one of our next meetings out at our new facility, so that you folks that haven't seen it can see it. And Gabe said he wasn't going to be here next month, so we were talking about April.
Okay.
Having our, you know, the first Monday. It's only another 15 minutes from this location.
That's fine.
And I think for all the work everybody put in, it'd be nice to have a meeting out there. So, with that, I'll go on to committee members. Any committee members have anything they'd like to speak on tonight? Any other supervisors, youth and government? We'll move on to citizens' comments. Any citizens that wish to speak, or anyone in attendance, address the committee on anything that they'd like to, and we would do 5 minutes, or if we're comfortable, a little bit longer than that. So, any citizens' comments? If not, we'll move on. Golf, new business. Review and approval of the proposed 2013 golf race. I know that you all have those in your packets. What we've got, Dan fell on the ice, is in great pain and is on medication at home. He's working from home. So if you've had a chance to look at these, I told him he had his second-in-commander that runs the clubhouse flying in today and was going to be getting in at 5. He said he could be here by 7. I told him there was no need. What we have on the golf race is no changes. The only change we have is on page 6, and that is the weekday unlimited. And what we found there, according to Dan, was that we weren't getting what we thought out of that. It was at $49, and he lowered it to $45. So those are the only changes on the golf rates. With the progress that they've made out there in the last year and a half, 2 years, we don't have any, unless there's a surprise tonight, any final numbers or anything, but they did quite well. I think his thinking on this is probably on par with how he's tried to run things so far. So there's any discussion on these golf rates. It's rare the noble.
A couple things. The one that says new in the middle of the page, on page 5, there's two of them. It doesn't have a time. Weekend and holiday afternoon special. And right below it, there's twilight every day after 2 p.m. every day. It seems like there's kind of an overlap there. Weekend and holiday, there's twilights every day after 2 p.m. So every day, to me, would mean weekends and holidays. $5 cheaper than the one right above it. It says new. I guess I'm trying to wonder, what were they thinking on that one?
Don't know. John, do you know?
No. No, you just talked to me about the change that I discussed with you.
So no, we can't answer that tonight.
And I also noticed then that, I think I kind of figured this one out, though, but apparently the spring before May 3rd and after September 30th, they're giving the twilight 2 p.m. every day at the same price as super twilight is during the middle of the year. So I guess, you know, I can understand that, but I guess I don't quite understand this new rate. That was the only question I had, was the new. Why there wasn't a time on the
If I was thinking without knowing anything about this, I would think that probably means that would start at noon, you know, saying afternoon. So maybe a guy for $5 gets a jump and doesn't have to wait till 2. Because that the other one specifically says after 2 p.m. So you'd probably pay $5 more to be able to start at noon. Ray, I know you're not on the payroll anymore, but what do you think?
Yeah, I honestly didn't get to chat with Dan about this new one. Otherwise, yeah, I was hoping I'd be able to kind of back into it, but I didn't get to talk with him about it.
Yep.
It's something like that. They had a problem getting people to go off at that time.
At 2.
So they put a little special time in there to drop the price around. I don't know the exact hours, but it's something like that. And I haven't talked to Dan about this since the end of last year when he was thinking about putting it in. And that's the most I can say.
But this isn't a major thing.
But I will find out and make sure that you guys know for sure.
Right.
We'll send you an email or something.
Yeah, I'm okay with going forward, but I would like to know what that is.
Yeah, we'll let you know.
Great. So this goes no further than this committee if we want to approve these rates. I personally have seen the results And I trust the logic here of what Dan's putting together.
Now, you say all these prices are the same, except for the,
yes,
the one I'm questioning?
Yep. No. The one that I mentioned was
well, the one, that one and
yes,
the one that I'm questioning.
Correct. Otherwise, they're all identical. So, can we have a motion on this?
I got a question.
Yes. Oh, Gabe.
Yeah. Does anybody know how we compare with the other golf courses? Are we in the same price range or?
Basically.
Last year, Dan and I did a study. Now, this was before the 2012 started, and we had a list of like 20 golf courses in Racine, Kenosha. We were in the middle to maybe a little bit above the middle, but it depended on which rate you picked, which time of the day, and on the weekends. But we were not the most expensive, we weren't the cheapest either. We were somewhere in the middle.
Pretty much comparable.
Yeah, yeah.
I think what the county has tried to do when Jim says in the middle also is to not compete with the private people to the point where we're cutting their throat.
Right. And we're talking about a buck or two, you know, or 75 cents or whatever when it comes to, you know, nine holes walking or taking a cart.
And the other question is, do we have different prices for Kenosha County residents and non-residents? Or
no.
Everything is the same price?
We used to, and that we were losing business. Okay. So we have a motion on the golf rates.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve the golf rates.
Moved by
with the exception of those points of clarification.
Moved by Supervisor Skoliski.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Noble. Any discussion? And we will have those clarifications for the next meeting. Yeah. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Motion carried. So we're set for 2013. We will not have the director's report this evening. He's at home on medication. Facilities, old business, update on the 60th Street Tower replacement.
Well, there's a bit of news, some good, some less than good. The good news is everything that we submitted to the DNR was submitted to the National Park Service, and they thought it was great. They didn't want any changes. So of the book of stuff we had put together for the conversion process, for basically swapping out land that we're going to use on 60th Street and Nash Park for the tower, with some additional land next to Washington Bowl. The concept was approved. All the supporting documentation was approved. That was the good news. The bad news was the NPS kind of blindsided the DNR and said, you know, we should really have you guys get an appraisal for this to see what it's actually going to, you know, what the land is that we're going to be swapping out. And they did not indicate any of that. It's not part of the hard rules that govern this process, but they wanted to do that. So I talked with Jim Ritchie at length from the DNR last week just to get a better feel for it. He had forwarded, because the city really is the entity that needs to get that appraisal done. And then I talked with John, and we basically, because they were struggling to find somebody to do the appraisal. And as we had some issues trying to get folks to do the appraisal out here, they have to be certified by the DNR the same way. So basically John got the two appraisers, Pitts Brothers and Dusterbeck, to the city, to Brian Wilkie in the City Development Department. I've tried to contact Brian, and I haven't gotten a response back. John, he didn't respond to you either. So at this point, they need to get an appraisal done of the two pieces of property, and then that should be the last piece for the NPS to bless the thing and say, go ahead and get going. So there's some movement, but not at all what we had hoped. So we're basically in a holding pattern with all the other stuff. The tower contractor's on hold. I talk to him about every 2 weeks just to let him know where stuff is at. The prefabricated building manufacturer, I talk to him about every 2 weeks just to keep him on track. And we're just in a holding pattern until we can get these last couple of beers. So hopefully, March is typically the month where we have the ice potential for the ice storms and that. hopefully we'll get through February and get through March and we'll get where we need to go.
Is this going to extend it out quite a bit?
This has extended it up. You know, we were ready to, we had the contractor lined up the week after Thanksgiving to start the project. So it's, at this point, there hasn't been any additional cost incurred with the exception of the tower steel was ready to go the first week in January like we had originally scheduled. And at this point, there is a nominal fee, and I haven't got the amount, but you know, it's less than $1,000 to store that steel yet down at the manufacturer in downstate Indiana, because we're not going to take delivery for that until we're ready to go with things.
Right.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Ray.
Good question.
Supervisor Noble?
What you said MPS or NPS? What was that?
National Park Service. I'm sorry. Yep, NPS.
I think Gabe has.
Gabe?
Who's going to be responsible to pay for the two appraisals? We or the city or... DNR is going to pay for it?
Oh, that's a darn good question. At this point, that I talked with Brian, explained to him what was going on, and I explained that as far as I'm, you know, my position would be at this point that, you know, it's the city's land, so that's kind of their skin in the game. They would have to pay for the appraisal. He didn't argue. He agreed with that, but he's not high in the food chain over there either. So. Right, he didn't go to Frank yet. So, and that could be why, because Brian's usually pretty responsive, and John sent that information to him, that was last week, probably Tuesday or Wednesday, and so there could be something like that going on. So I'll call Brian and find out, you know, what's going on.
Doug?
Did you say both of these pieces of land are city land?
Right, yeah, the piece at Nash Park is obviously a city park, and then the piece at Washington Bowl, if you recall, the city had a piece of property that, I don't know the specifics, but bottom line, they were going to work out a deal with AT&T to put a cell tower up, and AT&T bought the land and donated it to the city, and then they were going to lease it back or something like that. Well, that property was never, it was a freestanding piece of property, even though it's contiguous to Washington Bowl. So we said, why don't we make that part of the park, and that can be the exchange for using the small piece of property we're going to use for the Nash Park site. And
so there has to be an exchange of the property going out of the park. And that actually was the same thing, or tower was
it's actually probably more. There's more land there, and definitely it'll be a higher value. So I can't see, you know, any way that that's going to hold anything up once they get the formal appraisal done.
So the exchange would be in lieu of land purchase with stewardship funds.
Correct.
So if we, just like we just purchased this land with stewardship funds, once you do that, you're locked in. So you have to come up with something if you want to change that. So that piece would be the exchange. Mm-hmm. Any other questions for Ray on that? So, thanks, Ray. Park and ride structure.
Nothing to report, nothing new to report. We're still waiting for some account information. Hopefully we'll have a change by the next meeting, I hope.
And that would be the bank information?
That would be the bank information for the ATM machine. Once we get that, it takes 2 weeks to program the information in, and then we can start charging for parking.
Right. Now, an email and some questions that Supervisor Noble and some information, and then after I saw that, I saw new information on a couple of news reports. People are also going to be able to pay with a credit card.
Yes.
And we are now, or merchants are now able to recoup the percentage that they lose when a credit card is used.
Mm-hmm.
So is that part of this bank information? No,
we had to decide a couple months ago whether, and you used to never be able to do this except certain kind of purchases, the fee if you were going to use a, and by the way, the only way you can pay at the parking structure is with a credit card.
Okay.
And up until they made this law change, the fee had to be absorbed by the person who, by the merchant, by
yes.
us.
Correct.
And they just changed it to where the fee could be passed along to the consumer, much as like a tax, if you pay taxes or your taxes like that.
Right.
But we had already gone down the other pipe. It's three, we're going to pay a couple percent, and it's $3 to park. So we could either raise our price to
six more cents,
something, or right, just let it go.
So you can only use a credit card?
Yeah. So, or pay, you could pay ahead.
Why are we talking about
the treasurer's office?
Why are we talking about the ATM then?
It's a credit card scanner.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
That's the broad term that they use.
Right, they're calling it an ATM, but it's actually just a credit card scanner.
And we're negotiating with a certain bank on that?
I wanted to add a little, because I'm still keeping my fingers kind of in this a little bit, because we were hoping that the credit card issue would have been resolved last year yet. And I think I can speak, because I'm not a part of the official network anymore. We really need to get some additional cooperation from the treasurer's office to kind of work through a little bit of an administrative thing. These folks may not be comfortable saying that, because but I don't have to anymore. So, yeah, the bottom line is we need to get a little. I know that the exec has tried to work. It shouldn't be this operatic to get what we need done. I think Jim knows the nuts and bolts of what needs to happen. The nuts and bolts are all ready to go, but we have to have her basically sign off and approve on some stuff. And that's really it. Is there anything else, Ron, that from a technical standpoint, I know we're working through a communications issue, but we've pretty much got that resolved. Right, but as far as mechanical, everything
else is ready.
Everything's installed. The lights are up. The
depends what you negotiate.
The only other issue is the intercom.
I do 1-7.
Seven. Vacation.
So it really is that piece. It sounds like all the physical stuff is in place. The cameras are in place. Everything's in place, and we just need to get the credit card piece enabled. And there's one communications issue that's really not a big deal, having to do with if the gate didn't work and having an intercom go up to dispatch. And I think we've got our solution to that. So it really, if we could get the credit card thing squared away, we could plug this thing in and see if it smokes and get it fine-tuned and get it going.
We do better with these $10 million projects that we're in charge of than we do with the $162,000 that the state's in charge.
Yes.
Yeah. What's the credit card rate that we negotiated? 3%, 2%?
Well, it depends on what credit card, because there's 20 different kind of credit cards, and each one's different. Between 1.5% and 3%, depending on if it's a basic credit card or if it's a rewards card. It varies across the board. And then there's always a percentage charge for the amount based on the charge, and then there's a flat fee for each transaction. Since our transaction fee is very small, $3 a pop, the percentage fee ends up being higher because there's a flat fee of, I can't remember the exact number, a penny or two per transaction plus a percentage.
Mr. Redenold?
I'm going to ask a couple questions regarding passing on that fee. Does the Kenosha County have multiple merchant accounts, or do they have like one merchant account for the entire county?
There's multiple, depending upon who has. In my time here, I've done some research, and there's various departments that use credit or collect money via credit card. Health department, UW, golf, and what the county is trying to do is centralize it underneath one processor, because they're using several processors. And in the case of, we do, the treasurer is just putting in now a system whereby residents can pay their property taxes via credit card, and the percentage will be absorbed by the person doing the paying and not by the county. Then that's a whole different merchant processing system. And were we able to make that decision 6 months ago before we knew about this law, maybe we would have made the change. But as new things come on board, when supervisor asks about do you negotiate, we tried to go with one of the processors that other departments in the county are already using.
Well, what about, like, say, golf? You know, would be passing on the fee to people that want to use a credit card. From my perspective, and it might be to your advantage to have different merchant accounts, because if golf has its own, you can do it with golf and not do it with human services or whatever. But what it probably would do is, some people may not pay by credit card if they see they got it, because you're supposed to post it and you're going to pay the 3.5%.
Absolutely.
So if you see you're going to pay the 3.5%, you might say, well, I'll just pay cash. And you're better off. You're saving the 3.5% then.
Right.
Because it is a cost.
It's something we're going to look at now that this law is in effect, but we really couldn't do it prior to this. But it's a good idea.
From my perspective, it's a, first of all, you have to do it across the board. So you can't pick and choose. So having separate merchant accounts might work good for that. And it might drive people to pay cash, which
cuts saves some money.
Saves our cost, saves the county money. And if they so choose to, you know, it's not like they have to use that credit card. They have an option to save that 3.5. So I think if any, you know, golf is a great place to use that to save 3.5% of our cost on all the credit card transactions.
Yeah, out of our $3 million in roughly revenue for golf, about half of it is credit cards. It's like $1.4 million, $1.5 million.
So you're talking
a big number.
You're talking a big number then, right?
But you're also talking a whole nother strategy that we'd have to delve into without just a short conversation, and that strategy is, are the other golf courses going to do the same thing?
Well, I know.
And if a guy comes in with two of his kids and it's going to cost him $120, a lot of guys don't carry $120 anymore. You know, it's a credit card they've got in their pocket, and they've got the $30 for lunch for the kids. So, I mean, that would be, that's a big discussion. Real big discussion.
And right now, our credit card company, we're kind of locked in. They are telling us which processor we have to use. So that's something else we've got to look at.
It has to be credit, not debit?
I don't know what the new law is for debit cards. I don't know.
Well, Dennis has the best point of all, too. You got to pursue that, but Dan or somebody has to pursue and find out what the other golf courses are going to be doing, because that matters.
Okay, so that was on. Yes.
So we've had this equipment installed for at least, I think it's been a couple, maybe a couple months, about 3 months.
December.
And yet, unable to use it because we can't seem to get this issue resolved. So how can we help you guys move this thing ahead? Because it looks, to me, I just look at it as lost revenue. 3%, no, 3%, it's nothing compared to getting this equipment, which is installed, but we can't seem to get it operational because of a software issue.
I don't know if this stirs things up or actually gets us closer to the goal line, but if the committee would send a friendly request for the next meeting, formal report from the finance and treasurer's office, why, if the thing's not operational, why it's not operational, and somehow get that involvement a little more formal, it might be just enough to, okay, I got to get this done now. It's going to now be high enough on my list of things to do that I'm going to get it done. So something along those lines, I think, Vicki, we could put something together and do it in a tactful manner, but still by the same token say, hey, we got to get this going, because it's the only piece in the puzzle that needs to get put in place. And it's frustrating. I see the minutes from the meetings, because they meet every Thursday. Ron's the project manager on that one, and every Thursday I see the minutes. I still get the emails, and the guy from Becker is keeping track of the minutes, and he writes in there, still waiting for county to get credit card issue resolved. And that's every week, still waiting for county to get credit card issue resolved. So that goes back a while. So we got to get it done. I mean, Jim, I don't think that's going to take. I think
I just do know that I've had some communication, and Ron too, with the treasurer within the last week, and I know that their office is working on it, and they're getting closer. And I would expect them to be done relatively soon.
So, Ron, do you think it's been 2 months or 3 months since the equipment's been installed and could have been operational?
The projected grand opening for the parking structure was the middle of January.
Okay, so it's only been
probably 6 weeks anyways.
The equipment has been in 6 weeks.
Okay.
But with the knowing how long it's going to take to do this program and set up the software, I think we were projecting the middle of January for
being open.
And I know we had a few meetings ago, we had some projected revenue. We were kind of guesstimating, that's good enough for right now. So at least we can put a number behind every single month that this doesn't get resolved, what's costing the county, roughly speaking, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know where that, I mean, I don't have that right in front of me. If somebody has it, just that schedule, we thought maybe it was going to be $1,000, $5,000, whatever it was, if we can use that, it would be very helpful to say, hey, every single month we don't get this resolved, every single week is what it's roughly costing us. Usually gets people's attention when it starts costing us money. And I understand about the 3% or not 3%. It's not a big deal when we're not having any revenue flowing. It's a lot larger number than 3% of the revenue.
I believe we did the projection based on a February start, if I remember right.
Yeah, so it was February.
So, Jim, in your opinion, do we need to, as a committee, send any kind of a email to the treasurer, or do you think that it's close enough that we'll get back together next month and this baby will be done and out of the oven?
I personally think it's close enough.
Okay. So if we, I mean, from my perspective, we come back next month and talk about this same issue, then I'd say we need to send some type of a
email. Okay? That would be much better.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else on the park and ride? We'll move on to the KCDC H3AC.
I'm actually going to take off and pick up my son.
So, Ray, are you going to go out to the fishing derby?
Oh, yeah. I'll be there.
We'll see you out there.
Thanks, John.
KCDC HVAC project. Kane Energy is installing the new energy management system out there. They've gone through the building, put their controls on. They're probably 70% done with installing their controls. They've identified approximately 47 VAV boxes that aren't working correctly, and we're in the process now of getting prices for either retrofitting or replacing the VAV boxes. We don't know which direction would be cheaper for the county. So when the prices come in, we'll make a report to the committee. Once we get that information, we will have our maintenance staff probably do the installation rather than contract it out. We don't have that kind of money in the budget.
Okay.
Fortunately, I did have some money in there for some of these repairs. We're going to use that money to replace the VAV boxes.
Thank you. So now the practice range, the shooting range.
We're a couple of steps closer. I let out a contract last week to the AWI out on the interstate to do the grid system. It's a 2x2 angle iron grid system there. And I ordered the bullet-resistant panel from a place called ArmorCore out of Waco, Texas. Price was much better than any other place I could find. And it's the same level, same construction. So I anticipate the panels being here sometime next week. Hopefully the grid system will be installed within 2 weeks, and then we can get that functional. And then the only remaining part of this project will be changing out the air handler with a new frequency drive so we can modulate the airflow in the range.
So that's all. We're all set up then?
Yep.
Ready to go. Bathroom remodel project.
Bathroom remodel, the project is on time and on budget. So probably 3 more weeks and the bathrooms will be open.
Beautiful. Okay, then we'll go on to new business. This one is the Yule House, and I believe that's why Bernie's sitting here with us.
That's the main reason I came.
Yeah, and this is something that we did discuss, and Bernie will explain and go over this resolution.
This resolution on selling the Yule House is probably not so earth-shattering or surprising. I think it's been the feeling since it was vacated that we'd like to market it.
but it's really not getting any steam, it's not going anywhere, so, and also knowing that we haven't used a realtor or a broker for selling properties since I've been around and I can remember, I thought we'd include that aspect in the resolution so that nobody's surprised that we're using professional services. We use professional services for a lot of other things with the county. We hire it out if we don't have it in-house. And of course, if most of us were selling a house or commercial property, that's what we would do. But I just wanted to give the county board a say-so in it before we did it.
I think it's a very well-written resolution, and what it does is give the county board final approval, and it also lets the administration, you know, proceed with some type of marketing here.
I do, as you notice in the now therefore be it resolved part, I do put the laboring oar with the Public Works Committee, but that's not much different than it usually is when it comes to buying and selling real estate for the county. We usually start with this committee or in the past with its predecessors, either the Highway and Parks or the Building and Grounds. Those were the predecessor committees. And so if we did hire a broker, the broker would probably deal with this committee, go back and forth like that.
Quick question. Do you have some thoughts on, he's talked about broker in sequential order, what are your thoughts on just the bid process? Or, I mean, pretty much all, most realtors charge a standard rate.
Yeah.
Or if anybody has any ideas about
Well, if the county board wants to use a broker, then I think this committee should decide what process we're going to use to choose that broker. And we can kick around the best ideas and that we can come up with on what's the best matter. Request for quotes or a request for proposals or offers. You know, there's a lot of different ways we could go about it. I think that we want some minimum qualifications. We can talk about that and get some ideas, like we probably want them to be involved in the multiple listing service. And
yeah.
Most of them are, but maybe some aren't. I don't know. But that sort of thing. But I thought, before we got into that kind of level of things, I thought, make a general proposition that we're going to use one. And then if they go along with that, then how are we going to choose it? And are we going to give the first one 6 months or then go to another one? Are we going to, you know, continue with the same one? Are we going to use more than one at one time? I think the multiple listing service sort of gives it to us anyway, where the other agents can try to find a buyer for us. But those kind of ideas we can kick around.
Okay, I just want to be sure that we didn't, we're tying our hands at all with the resolution.
This is pretty vague.
I just want to make sure.
Yeah, okay. And there's no price. Notice there's no price. I thought whoever we get for a broker could help us set a reasonable price.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, this is pretty milquetoast. It's saying that we're approving the concept. And then, once we have that at the county board, then this committee would, we'd probably even go through an interview process. Okay.
On this part where it says authorize the engagement of one or more real estate brokers, what were your thoughts on
that? I just didn't want to tie the hands of the committee on just hiring one, but you know, you probably know more about this than I do.
Well, I was just going to say, because how are you going to engage more than one?
Well, you have to read the rest of the sentence, okay?
You know, like in sequential order.
Oh, okay.
Like maybe try one out for 6 months.
And then
maybe another one.
If necessary, yeah.
If necessary. Sure.
Or maybe we're happy with the first one. Doesn't have to be one or the other. Just kind of open the door, and that's what I meant, though. You know, so like we wouldn't have to go back. Say they pass this, the way it's worded, we don't have to go back to pick a different one. You know, we could pick one, and then we could pick another one.
Alternate,
if we wanted
first
to.
First alternate or second.
If it didn't work out in 6 months with the first one, we wouldn't have to come back to the county board to hire the second one.
Okay. So that was meant not two or three, like an open listing sort of
right.
thing.
Yes.
These offers, you said it's subject to approval of the county board supervisors.
Yeah.
Isn't it going to go through finance?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, all real estate has to go through finance.
Yeah.
That's just the way our committees are set up. But most of the time when it's buying and selling stuff, this is the committee that does most of the groundwork.
Okay.
And then you get some deal going, and then the finance committee weighs in.
Okay.
That's how it's gone in the past. Sometimes the finance committee has done certain things without this, but I can't remember too many.
Not on purchasing, no.
Yeah,
well, what you have to remember now is this committee is so combined now with facilities.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole new ballgame.
Yeah, finance still
used to be building and ground.
Votes on all real estate matters. That's why you'll see whenever I do a resolution for real estate, you'll always see finance on there, including this one.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Dodge, second by Supervisor Skoliski to approve the resolution. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Do the governance?
Aye.
We're approved.
You have the original?
Yeah, I had them here.
Okay.
I do.
Happy.
I've got the original. Let's see, what way should we go? I'll have you do it. Yeah. You want to move some?
The resolution dealing with the utility for We Energy?
Sure.
Yeah, that's the only thing else.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is an exciting committee.
It's a good committee.
Yeah. I think. So you just want to come and see how the real work got done, Roger.
Then it's in the packet. It's on page 28.
Yeah. The gas lien, is that the one you want to do?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it's not the gas lien, it's just a gas.
Yeah. So if the committee would have no objections, under Parks, item C, we have the review and approval to grant a utility easement to We Energies. And Mr. Bash was going to assist us on that. So if there was no objections, we have a motion from the committee to jump that one up here while he's...
So moved.
Moved and seconded by Supervisor Noble to move to the We Energies easement. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. You think governance?
Aye.
Okay, so we're there.
Thank you very much. Perhaps you could pass this along to the members of the committee. It shows the part of the Hydra parcel on KB Park that we're talking about. It's really relatively small section. They're right up below the words CTHF.
So they want to need down here?
Yeah, on the other side, on the north side of the highway right away.
Okay, but right along the existing F.
Yeah.
And Commissioner, I used your name, I don't know if you looked at the resolution, but your observation that it's going to cost us if we have to move it.
Realignment of the highway.
Existing.
Right here.
Yes. Okay. That's not what I'm saying. I'm showing him that it's right along Highway F to the north. And it's a pretty short part of our overall park. It's not the one that was talked about with ATC that cuts right through the middle of the park. It's right. Not that one at all. And that one we put the next to anyway. Yeah, that's it. Okay, so this is a sort of the run-of-the-mill utility request from We Energies, which they've given us many of these in the past. We are supposed to accommodate these utilities when they're for a reasonable purpose, and this is a serve the citizens. This is a service extension, distribution gas main. The only problem, a little wrinkle on this one is that if you notice on that drawing, or that aerial photograph with the drawing overlay, you can see where County Trunk, the new County Trunk F is going to come in perhaps 7-8 years. I don't know when long range plan is, it's not definite yet, but it will come in. And the only thing we would like to avoid is paying to move this gas main when that time comes. So I, with the county clerk's help, put in paragraph 8, which says they're going to move that utility either temporarily or permanently on our request at their expense. It's the only change I made. Paragraph 8.
What you're saying is when you put the road in, they're going to have to do that again and dig it up? And
yeah, they're going to do it again anyway. Okay. But
usually it's been at our expense.
You can ask a highway commissioner. They generally charge us a pretty penny to do it.
Okay.
So what we're saying is, sure, you can do it.
You can have it for a dollar.
But in 7 years, this road's coming through, and we're not paying $100,000 for you to move it. Which will probably get a backlash.
Probably.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I don't have to represent everybody. I can just represent the fellowship.
Right. Mike?
Does it make sense to route this gas line to where the road is proposed to go, or does that not fit with their needs? Even though maybe 7 or 8, I understand, and maybe they even have to put a little extra time and effort into it now, but then it doesn't need to be done or redone later. I'm just asking.
What utilities do occasionally, and now with the new technology with directional drilling, they could drill that down 15-20 feet deep and be well out of the way of any future road excavation. So that's the more likely scenario.
Okay.
That there is an option available to them to minimize the chance of having to relocate it in the future, too. So, but that would be up to them. I would still recommend the wording that's in the resolution just to protect us, but I think there's methods available to them to avoid the extra cost also. By burying it deep enough.
You know, we've all, whether it's citizens or taxpayers, have seen a brand new road put in, and a month or two down the road, or down the calendar, or maybe 6 months, they're trenching across it, they're digging it up, and that is irritating, because we all know that the road just doesn't survive that way, so I'm just trying to think ahead of time. Now, the paragraph covers us down the road. Great, because there's no pending a plan to do that. We just know long term that's something that we would want to do. Okay.
They won't like it, but we don't have to care.
No,
it's going to be a big expense to us if we don't have that paragraph in there.
Yeah. Oh,
We've got plans long term. We just need to hold them accountable. They either put it deeper or get it out of the way, or you're going to pay later. That's fine. I'm good. Thanks.
Any other questions for Bernie or discussion on this resolution?
Move to approve.
Moved by, was that Supervisor Noodle? To approve?
Second.
Seconded by Supervisor Skolitsky. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Youth and Governance?
Aye.
So we're approved. Thanks for being out.
Thank you. You're welcome to stay. It's very exciting. Wait till we get to the parks part.
He was out at the parks. It was 8 below 0. He and I were looking at lot lines a week ago. He had his snowmobile suit on.
It's colder out here in the west. Way downtown.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually we get those lake breezes.
I wonder if I did the right one there.
Which is that one?
Never mind. We'll do this one. Oh, we're going to approve that one anyway.
That's what you said.
Just for the snowmobile trails. I thought something didn't look right there. We'll do it again. So now we'll go back to the status report on HVAC and electrician positions.
As part of the facilities reorganization of 2013, we're going to hire an HVAC tech and an electrician.
Right.
The announcements are in the paper this weekend. They close on the 15th of February. And then we will start with the hiring process and hopefully have somebody in-house in early March. That should really help the bottom line.
And then a report on the retrofit of the hearing room lights.
In March, there's going to be a new projection screen and projector set up in the hearing room, and it was necessary to get the lights working correctly in the hearing room. We changed out the 150-watt can lights that were in there. There were 4,800 watts of can lights, and I replaced them with 12 LED fixtures for a total of 960 watts. That's an 80% savings. Total cost was $3,048. The yearly cost for the can lights, to run the can lights, was $1,773. The new lights will cost us $355 a year to run. We're going to save $1,400 a year. Payback's going to be 2 years, and then with the life expectancy of the LED lights, it's going to go on for another 10 to 15 years. If anybody gets a chance, stick your head in the hearing room and take a look at them. Oh, the other part of it is with can lights, we were getting 8 to 10 foot candles of lighting at 30 inches off the ground. With the new lights, we're getting between 28 and 35 foot candles of light.
Big difference. Mike?
Ron, is that tied in with the lights, the sound system at all? Is that completely different?
In March, it's going to be tied in. And that's one of the reasons we went with the LED lights. They want to have it so when you start up the projector, the lights dim automatically.
Okay.
And then it'll be tied in with the sound system and the projector.
So that's kind of all tied into the same process.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks.
Any questions for Ron? We'll move on to highways. New business review wage schedule amendments. Mr. Sisma.
Yeah, what I'd like to discuss is some proposed modifications to the wage rate and classifications for highway employees. The wage rate classifications that we're working under right now are left over from the previous contract between the county and Local 70. Those old wage rates and classifications were based on negotiated position descriptions, negotiated wages, and those positions were placed by employee seniority. Of course, it was always subject to evaluation and a probation period, but it wasn't necessarily placed by a person's skill and ability. What the new classifications are going to do place personnel into the positions based on skill and abilities required to perform the different tasks that are required to maintain the highways, and then the wages are going to be applied accordingly to those different tasks. The system is very similar to the prevailing wage rate system that the private sector uses, the most important aspect of that is that the wage earned is based on the actual time that you are performing that task, unlike the current classifications where a person, for example, is paid heavy equipment operator pay regardless of whether they would be operating that piece of equipment or not. Part of the new classifications will actually require the different truck and equipment operators to become certified. The Wisconsin County Highway Association has come up with a very comprehensive and thorough system to certify all of your employees to operate anything from truck to plow truck to heavy equipment, graders, pavers, the whole works. It's almost similar to like an apprenticeship would be in the private sector. Initially, we wouldn't require the certification to be in place, but over time we would like to establish that program. It's like I said, it's very comprehensive. It would take some time to get our employees to get through the process, but it definitely would put us in a position of getting the best qualified and skilled person to operate the various pieces of equipment that we have. The new and proposed wage classifications does not involve the reduction of wages of any employee. Every employee's existing wage would stay the same. What it does do is to when those employees are performing a certain higher skilled task, they will be their pay would increase at the amounts I believe in your packet there's a copy of the Title 2013 wage rates in the different groups that we would propose. I'll just quickly go through the highest group 1A, the most skilled positions are the shop operators that work in the repair shop, and then all of the heavy equipment operators, the asphalt paver, rollers, loaders, graders, bulldozers, excavators, street sweeper, all the highest skilled heavy equipment operators would be at the highest hourly rate of $29.11 per hour. The next group one would be the mechanics. Any employee working on I-94 mainline, and our head sign person, and that wage, highest wage rate would be $27.32 an hour. The balance of the groups are all the various truck driver labor positions we have, and eventually, over time, those groups will be reduced to one, that the group five, as employees in group two, three, and four retire or move on, those positions would be would move automatically into group five. So eventually, you know, we would just have the three groups, but it would obviously going to take some time to get there. So I think one of the benefits of this amended wage rate classification is it gives some incentive to our employees to improve themselves, and it's one of the things that our employees are always asking for is the opportunity to improve themselves, and this certainly is going to do that, and it's going to reward them by a higher pay rate to do that. So I think it's more in line with the private sector and how wages are rates are determined, and I certainly support it. It's been reviewed by the personnel department, by corporation counsel, and they've all given their approval to move forward with it. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Sort of Dodge.
These shift premiums, they're currently what, they haven't changed?
The shift premiums stay the same.
Staying the same, okay.
Yeah.
And well, I'm glad to see that there's no reduction in existing wages, because I know that they're all having to pay for their health insurance and pension now, so I commend you for that. Thank you.
Right.
Gary, you were talking about combining or eventually having a few of these groups combined. Was it 2, 3, 4, 5 kind of becoming one block?
Yeah, as
of individuals, if you would?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, as employees in group 2, 3, and 4 either retire or move on, that position would get moved into group five.
Okay, so then the new scale, if you would, is kind of set out in five?
Correct.
That would be then just one grouping, if you would.
Correct.
And then if they want to move, so you'd almost have, maybe it's not 1A anymore, maybe it's 1, 2, and 3, or A, B, and C, whatever the case may be, mm-hmm. depending upon whatever certifications they've attained.
Correct.
To do that. Okay.
Correct.
And is that... I realize the county's got a program out there already. Do they have the opportunity to start pursuing that right now? 6 months, 3 years from now? What's your idea on that?
The heavy equipment positions are pretty much ready to go right now.
Okay.
I think the truck driving and the snow plowing, they're still in the development process in the committee of the WCHA that's working on those, but the heavy equipment is pretty much ready to go.
Now obviously you've got some very skilled individuals that mm-hmm. are already qualified. Will any of them be able to grandfather in, or they've got to still check the box and go through the exercise?
I would prefer that they still follow through the
okay.
exercise, and it a lot of what's involved in that involves the personal safety and the safety of the other employees and the public, and I just don't think that it hurts for them to hear that again.
Just a refresher.
Correct.
Okay. And is it, do they have to go to a location to do this? Is it on site?
It's all internally.
Okay. So some written exams or whatever the case may be.
Right.
Not necessarily getting that, and this is how you operate a front end loader or something like that.
Yeah. And I have all that information. If you're interested in seeing it, I'd be glad to forward it to him.
Thank you.
Noble.
Let's say you end up having more people getting qualified to be Group 1A weight rates, but you don't have enough equipment to run. So if I'm a truck driver Group 2 and I'm not running the piece of equipment, then you're going to only pay me as a Group 2.
Correct.
Is that like on a daily basis? Let's say I start out work 3 hours, you know, as a heavy equipment, and then I switch back to something else. Your timekeeping system can keep track of exactly what the person is doing, and the people do punch in, punch out, or whatever you do?
Yes, in fact, we do that right now.
Okay.
Yeah, and we're always looking for improving our system, but yeah, it does work now.
Any other questions?
This is going to go to the Finance Committee also, too. So I at this point, I'm just looking for your support or endorsement of it let the Finance Committee know that at least you had a chance to,
right.
To one other question.
Yes, ma'am.
And just get back to what I originally touched on. When you look at 2, 3, 4, do you have a gut feel for it just becomes one grouping then? Or is it really just, you know, is it 10 years? Is it 3 years? Is it 20 years? Or really hard to predict?
Well, it's not so hard to predict. I mean, we do have lists of when, I can just give you an example. In fact, right now we have three vacancies. We have one retirement coming up in about a week. We have another retirement that for sure is going to happen in this year, and then we have 1, 2, 3, 4 more employees that are eligible to retire. We do know when an employee is eligible. So it's going to take a number of years to get to get through it. But
thank you.
So we don't have a resolution for this, but I'd like a motion that we approve the so that Gary can have that.
So moved
by Supervisor Noble.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Kalitsky. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
You the governance?
Aye.
Okay, Gary.
Thank you.
Director's report.
Just a couple of things. You probably have read recently about the ATC project in the west end of the county where they're proposing to run a high voltage line basically from the area of Highway C and 45 westerly to a site that's just north of Lake Geneva. We have met with ATC. We have another meeting next week with ATC. We have all of the alternative plans. They're all have been released to the public. The staff at the Planning and Development Office and myself are jointly reviewing all of the alternate routes. This is going to have, if nothing else, aesthetically, it's going to change the landscape of the west end of the county pretty dramatically. So we are, from a land use standpoint, from a highway standpoint, we're looking at every alternate route. We're going to provide ATC with our comments. We're doing a very thorough review to make sure that we have our say in whatever happens with this routing of the high voltage line. So, the Planning and Development Office drafted a multiple page letter that's going to go out to ATC this week with comments. So we're working on it, and we'll see where it takes us with that. And then just another thing, just for informational purposes, something that's going to be happening here within the next year. The federal highways and the State Department of Transportation is converting Highway 41 from Milwaukee to up through Oshkosh, Appleton, and up to Green Bay. They're converting that to an interstate highway. They've jointly determined that that's going to become Interstate Highway 41. And how that affects us is they're actually going to begin Interstate Highway 41 at the intersection of I-94 and Russell Road, just south of the state line, because that's where US 41 comes into I-94. So I-94 through Kenosha County, Racine County, up through Milwaukee from the Mitchell Interchange to the Zoo Interchange, is going to be converted to Interstate Highway 94/Interstate Highway 41. So it's just a name change. Nothing is going to change, but you're going to see at some point in time the signs changing and joint Interstate 41/94 in Kenosha County. So just let you know that it may not happen until 2014, but they have had approval for the conversion up between Milwaukee and Green Bay, so it is moving forward. And that was all I had for tonight.
What?
So how much money are you going to spend adding signs at, say, Highway 41? It seems ridiculous.
I don't know. I don't think they know. At this point, they're still working on the plans for the individual signs. I just listened in on a meeting today.
I bet you it's hundreds of thousands of dollars.
I wouldn't be surprised.
No cost to the county.
There's no cost to the county other than
unless you don't live in the state of Wisconsin.
Or the United States and the federal government is funding
that. Right. Thanks, Gary. Mm-hmm. We're going to move on to old business parks first. The master plan we started going over as the committee. One of our first requests, we set priorities, and the top priority that we thought was affordable to get going on that was the aquatic activities. So John's done some work on that, and he's got some explanations here and a mapping for us, so give her over, John.
Yep. I worked with P&D to put this together, and I thought it was important to show the topography of the lake so everybody could kind of understand why we are putting things where we are. I'll start out over in the lower left corner with the parking lot. Nothing there. Nothing is to scale in this map, except for the topography and the lake. Everything else is just basically drawn in. So, you know, don't try counting 42 spaces in a parking lot or anything, because what we'll have to determine that by is what we can fit into the room. But anyways, the fishing pier, right now I've been talking with the 4-H fishing project, and they have, I think it's $4,200 they're willing to put in to pay, at least if that'll cover the whole cost of a pier or that percentage of it. So that's in the works, and that's probably something we could maybe even get in this summer yet. The boat launch, would probably be about the only thing we'll, I can imagine we'd have to spend real money for. I think we could probably buy a prefab one and slide it in, again, with a DNR permit to put it in. The staging area and the benches that go there, the benches could be Eagle Scout projects, so there really wouldn't be any expense to that. As well as the diving platforms, those typically, with the other folks I spoke to that have lakes with diving, are Eagle Scout projects, and the diving clubs sink them and put them in place for them. I've been getting two schools of thought on the diving platforms. One is like the 20, 30, and 40-foot depths, and then the other one is a bunch of them at 25-foot, because they say if you go to the 30-foot depth or lower, you deal with a little decompression. And they said this way, when they're doing their training classes and stuff, if they were all 25-foot, it wouldn't make any difference. And that's, you know, again, some divers, instructors want to see it that way, and others want it spread out. The windsurfing area, the one thing when I discussed windsurfing with the folks around here, they said you always want to get blown home. And the prevailing winds being basically out of the southwest, they prefer to launch on the north northeast side of a lake, so that when they're windsurfing to the southwest, they can just turn and get blown back to the launch. That's their ideal situation. We'd have to build a small parking lot up on the top for them. I think this is all pretty low budget, because I don't believe we'd need to pave either of these parking lots for now. They are, the boat launch and everything is kind of in a relative area of where it's shown in the KD master plan, but the parking lot isn't, and I think if we just put in a good gravel one, I don't know, you know, we might have to put a little bit of pavement by the boat launch so that the guys would spin out there. But other than that, I think a lot of this could be done, again, with volunteer work and in-house work, other than, like I said, having to buy the boat launch itself if we bought a precast. I think anyways, it's something doable we could get started on right away, at least getting the permits and seeing if we can get Eagle Scouts in line to do things and getting the 4-H club putting their thing together and all that stuff.
Well, John, I think probably the next step then would be, because I'm familiar with that road is already there.
Yep.
That leads to where we're talking about the parking lot. That was the gravel operation had that road. To find out from the dive teams the size of their boats, and then to size that to the boat launch, because I've installed a couple of those prefab boat launches. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we talked to the Powers Lake Rescue Squad and see what type of ramp they need, and we see if we can do it, and if we've got, you know, some way to budget. That type of thing could be volunteered also if the materials were purchased. Mm-hmm. You know, we can get somebody in there to, our highway department is certainly proficient in the concrete structure. You know, they've done bridges, and it's not a, we can get Gary's guys to volunteer on a Sunday.
And, I'm sure they're all in on that one.
Yeah,
but I mean, you've done some real good homework there. So I think probably we would like, I think, unless the rest of the committee didn't agree, to try to start working on what we need for the permits and then see what we need for that concrete. But it's in panels now. That's what the majority of them are.
And like I said, I really, the way this put together, I think it's pretty low budget, but it'll offer a lot. And again, you know, kayakers, canoers, everybody can launch
right
off that same boat launch, because really most of this lake isn't suited for it. The only place that really is over here on the south end. And I know too, when we talked with who's the gentleman from the dive team out here that was on the
Shaw?
Yeah, he said that the divers like to use a boat launch to walk in too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Enter the water, so don't put that next to there would work out for them. So
will the committee Doug, you had something?
The south end, is that where the, it looks like the topography of the lake, is that where it's somewhat shallow there for the swimming area?
It's very shallow.
Yeah.
So that's where they're, you're planning on the swimming area someday?
If we did it, yes.
If we do it. Right now, it's full of phragmites and weeds. And I know the guys are mowing it down some and trying to kill it off with aquanet. But yeah, and there, when you look at this picture, you can almost see where, I think it's almost washed mason sand that was in on the bottom of it, wasn't it?
It was graded down.
So, I mean, it'd be the ideal spot if one goes in.
But then the boat launch needs that depth, so that's why that side there works for the...
Now, over here by the ski thing, isn't that a big hill there with a steep grade or not?
The windsurfing area?
Where they're windsurfing, yeah.
Yes, it is. So they'd have to be just off the corner of that dam. We'd have to make them basically a trail to walk down there and clean that spot up. It'd be a little difficult, you know, it isn't ideally flat, but again, it's the spot they want to be. They prefer to be.
That whole side is steep anyway.
But there's a spot.
It's not too bad.
There's a spot there. My dog can walk right down flat. There's a couple spots.
Isn't there a flat spot where there used to be a house there or something?
No, that's way up the bank.
Yeah, that's up on top.
That's about midway down that lake.
Oh, is that? Yeah. That's high up too?
That's way high. Oh. All along KD is high there.
They got a little parking spot right up there on the highway, right by that proposed parking lot on the north end, don't they? Right on the road?
But they got to carry that board and everything then across the highway, right?
Yeah, okay.
That's why usually when those guys show up there at Fox River, Silver Lake, there's normally at the most a dozen. You know, usually we don't see any numbers larger than that.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought, you know, we can get a parking lot up there that'll handle 12 cars.
Okay.
For now, hopefully that'd be sufficient. If it wasn't, maybe they could just unload and then park across the road or go around.
I know you got some real nice trails. I did that 2.4-mile trail with my dog a few weeks ago. Very nice place.
Yeah,
that's a good one. Good workout. I did it yesterday.
I was skied it yesterday.
You skied it? That was you? More than one person did.
Yeah.
And then some people snowmobiled it, too.
That's the easiest skiing is on air tracks.
I know. I said to Bob, that's my dog's name, I said, oh, geez, good, Bob, where that trail came in. Because then I had easy walking, you know, past the shelter, the fire shelter, and all the way down.
How's it cold up there in the wind?
Yesterday. But I wanted to do them 4 miles yesterday because it had been bad walking before. So we did four. We did. It was chilly. Good wind chill out there.
The dive platforms, John. What are the dive platforms? Concrete?
No. Treated lumber. And easily weighted up with cement.
Really?
Yep. They usually use like a 4x4 or a pipe for the corners. And they just, beforehand, they measure the angle of the grade underwater where it's going to sit. So they build a platform according to that. And then they use those airbags to float it out, and just let the air out of the bags and then set them down where they go. And they're for instruction. They have to have railings on them so all the divers can basically stand on it and the instructor can teach.
Railings underwater?
Yes. Yep.
You know, as long as that wood stays wet, it'll last forever.
What are they going to make?
As long as the wood stays wet, it'll last forever. It'll, you know, they've got homes down outside of Washington, D.C. that keep the foundation wet. The wood foundations, and they say they will never deteriorate if you keep them wet all the time.
So is the committee in agreement that we have John look into some costs on this? And,
yeah.
And then we look at our volunteer basis and try
Very
to get
nice.
Something going this summer. So we'll move on to the...
Thanks, John.
Public snowmobile trail. That's an easy one.
That one is basically the same thing we do every year. The DNR funds what they call the state trail through Kenosha County. I think it's 76.9 miles or something. I don't have that laying right in front of me. But anyways, I'm basically the funnel. I apply for the grant and get the money. And the Kenosha County Snowmobile Alliance, which is a big club of all the individual Kenosha County clubs, perform all the maintenance on the trails and the grooming, and also go out and where the trail crosses private property, they get a lease agreement for the season from the property owners, and we pay for the lease agreement fees, which are relatively small, and then we reimburse the clubs for the maintenance. And every year, that's where that money goes. And I know the question always is, what happens when you have a year when it doesn't snow? They build bridges, they brush, and they do all sorts of things like that. So they never get all their money back. I know I've seen them spend, the clubs themselves spend $30,000 for about a $17,000 return. So they do a lot of good work with the money that we get for them through the state.
And this all comes from registration. It's not, it's from fees paid for trails and registration. It's a pass-through, basically.
So there's no chance the state would cut that funding?
They haven't, not for this year. Mm-hmm. Motion approved?
So moved.
So moved. Seconded by Supervisor Donich. All those in favor?
Aye.
Well, since Mike and I have already signed this by accident, we'll just pass that one off. We did the Wee Energies. Okay, the Chapter 10, the County Parks Ordinance. We have many outdated ordinances. Parks, now that this has been combined with facilities, and we have golf and highways, all under one committee, one structure. This is the updating that needs to be done to many of the chapters in the whole county ordinance. So what they've done is put this together for us to look at, and what I proposed was that you have the rough copies and the changes that were in this month's packet, that we take this home, go through it, come up with questions. Next meeting, we'll have Bernie here, because it's going to be a little time consuming to go through things. And this evening, I knew that until everyone's really gone through this, we didn't have a need to have Bernie here. They also gave us a cleaned up version here that I think everybody should have in front of them, that will also ask you to keep any questions that you have, and then we can get this condensed and modernized. That's the basic reason, right, John?
Yeah, but there's, like I said, a lot of it's outdated, but there's so many things that go on now that the old ordinances weren't meant to address. I mean, we didn't have extreme sports 45 years ago. We probably did, but
we just didn't call it that.
Yeah. And I mean, like, the one thing I know Aaron Decker talked to me about, and we wrote in about, you can't have a petroleum fueled engine or storage container within 50 foot of a lake shore, and that goes to control boat motors, and it goes also the ice racing motorcycles to keep them off of the lakes,
right,
and our waterways and the parks. I believe I've heard that's starting to be a big issue in some places here in the county. I haven't seen it myself.
Yeah, Lily Lake and Camp Lake. So that took care of that.
Okay.
So now, the discussion of a memorial tree for Gordon West. Supervisor Underhill put this together, and I am sure that there would be nobody in the room that would be opposed to something like this. The only problem we have with this resolution, and I talked to Mike about it, he's fine, there's no funding for it. In the past, we found funding in various ways, and I told Mike to call the county board chairman, because there is a chairman, does have a fund. The county board also has a budget. The last time we did something like this, it became very controversial, which was mind-boggling. I remember, I'm sure Doug remembers, the debate on the county board floor, and it was for Supervisor Lingren, And I ended up being so frustrated, I donated the tree on the floor that night. Because it was a $250 tree, and it was just fighting, going back and forth. So I told Mike, let's try to find the funding before we go to the county board and see where it's going to happen, or how it's going to happen. The chairman, I believe, starts out with about an $8,000 budget. That's what it used to be. They use it for promotional and different things. But the thought to have a tree and a plaque, problem with, or the little cement plate can cost $200. So John's concern was in his budget, he doesn't have this. We're probably talking $500. If anybody has any thoughts or donations, or I think Mike will know more tomorrow. He'll talk to me and find out what he found out from the Jeff Gens.
You know, at the end of the year, Swartz Nursery takes all their stock they have
right
sitting there, and they donate to the parks. And I know a lot of times, by the time we get it, it's so late in the season we can't get it in. And it's possible. Nick Murphy went on vacation, so he went to Hawaii, and I really didn't have time to ask him what he had sitting over there, buried in chips right now. But it's possible we could use one of those trees,
right,
if we could come up with the $200 for the. It's basically, I think it's limestone that we have Bosman Monuments do engraving in, and then we send it to cement.
Is that what we did with Dick Lindgren's? Is that what it was?
I think it's the same thing.
Yeah. So, if we can find that out, I mean, Mike's idea was great. I don't think there'd be any opposition from anybody, but we have to fund it somehow, and not from John's budget.
Do you know where you're going to put it, the tree? Do we know?
In the park in Paddock Lake there, where he
lives. Okay, gotcha.
Mike did say he was going to talk to Gordy's wife about possibly doing one at Kemper, because
he was on a Kemper board.
Right, so he said whichever place, if his wife decided Kemper was more appropriate.
Yeah.
But I think it's something else.
But well, that's where that is.
So we don't need to take any?
No. That was just on for discussion tonight. Director's report.
Just a brief thing on the ice fishing derby for the 16th. It only runs 7 to noon. We've got enough door prizes donated by everybody in the area and a lot of the vendors that we use. So every child that comes should be able to get a door prize. Our admission or our charge to the kids for the derby is $2. The 4-H fishing project has donated $300 for prizes in case we don't come up with enough money for our $25 and $20 first and second place prizes for the fish. Ray's Boy Scout troop is going to be selling hot dogs and coffee and things like that out there. The Pringle Nature Center is going to come out and demonstrate snowshoeing, and I think they'll have snowshoes to rent. And if we have enough snow, we'll go out there a day or two ahead and groom cross-country ski trails. And we already have the stakes driven to set up one of our tents with a wood stove in it, so folks got a place to go in and get warm. And then the other thing is, I called Cabela's to see if they wanted to send somebody, one of their fishing experts, down and just come and talk with the kids and maybe put out a table and show the latest in fishing gear. And they told me they'd love to be able to do that. And it was maybe definitely okay. So the woman was leaving on vacation just as she said that, but she said she was passing on her information to their fishing department, and she said they were pretty sure they were going to be sending somebody. So I think it'll be a good day. I'm hoping. Right now it looks like we're probably going to have enough ice. We'll be out there Saturday boring a few holes and checking it again. But I think it's going to go off this year after we couldn't do it last year, and I think it's going to be fun. So then Kemper Center, on the back page, which is, I guess it would be page 36, Kemper Center asked me if it would be possible for them to plant 5 trees on Arbor Day. Now, the aerial photo you're looking at apparently it's the most current one that planning and development has, but it's pre-storm, and I mean, even the two houses and the tennis courts are there. So when you see the trees here, probably a third of these trees are gone. So it's a little bit deceiving. It looks like they're planting things on top of other things, but where these areas are, they are open areas. I guess, well, this committee had asked or ordered that, directed that no trees be planted without this committee's approval. So they put this together seeking approval from the Public Works Facilities Committee.
The only thing, and I'm probably the only one who knows what these trees are, and you could ask them, John, to look into this, but it only took me after I talked to you. I wasn't totally familiar with tree number 5, and just looking in my bookwork, it likes low damp areas, and I know that that's not a low damp area in that front yard.
It's not.
So this was the big, and I brought up these points. The biggest concern was that the wrong trees were put in the wrong spot, and not historical trees for Kenosha County or for that site. And, you know, this is a nice tree. It's in the range that would work. It's for range 5 to 9. We're 4 to 5 where we live here. But you know, Monrovia and a couple people sell this, and a couple of the local people do sell it, but planted in that front yard, it might not be right. So just a question to ask them.
Yeah, well, I know when those trees tipped over down there, you could see there was, looked like 2 or 3 foot of black dirt and then pure dune sand underneath.
Yeah.
So you know it's well drained.
So what we don't want is a struggling tree.
Right.
For years out there, just, you know, that wrong tree in the wrong spot, and it's done a lot. Okay. Somebody saw a beautiful picture, you know, just thought it was a neat tree. Mm-hmm.
Maybe you could just then temporarily hang a plaque on one of these trees, buy us a year or two until we get some money for the other one.
I think these are all
recorded there.
Already donated by somebody else.
Yeah. Well,
I think the committee is fine with this. Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll move on.
At Pets, did we get all the rain last week? I went out to out there and met with Len Recker, and there were two things. We were looking at the stone bridge on the north for some restoration, and we also wanted to see how the high water was going through the park with that bridge there. And I think it looks like R.A. Smith sized that bridge correctly, and I know Gary had a lot to do with that too, with what was put in and everything there. But in the past, that thing, we'd still be doing cleanup there if that dam would have been in there. So it saved us probably, you know, 250 hours worth of work, and then hauling sand from the Wilmot pit for the playground, and repairing trails and cleaning mud off the road. So that was huge. That we, this again, this was our first rain event of that size, and everything went smoothly there, even with the frozen ground and the water couldn't soak in. So I'm hoping that now we won't hopefully have to close the park again, unless it's like a 200 year rain event. I didn't receive any correspondence from the Pringle Nature Center. I did ask, but they only meet every other month, and in December, the secretary didn't go, and they said the treasurer took the minutes, and nobody can read his writing. So I told him I'll get us something. So for the next meeting, so hopefully we'll have that by March. And then at Silver Lake Park, that the Fat Tire bike race went off pretty good. I think it was 5 degrees in the morning, so they only had 50 folks show up instead of the 100 they anticipated, but and there wasn't a lot of snow. I think there might have been an inch or inch and a half on the ground when they held the race, but they had fun.
I think that's so amazing that 50 of them were out there. That day was miserable.
Yeah.
Those people love their sport.
So, and that's all I have.
Good questions on it. How long typically after a snowfall before you do like the walking lanes at Pets or the bicycle trail? you know, before you remove the snow from those places, is there a time frame or something you try to do that in?
I don't plow the walking trail.
You don't plow the walking trails? Okay.
I don't think that's sized to be plowing with a truck.
Okay, I noticed it wasn't so done. What about the bicycle path?
I don't plow that. On weekends, we never clean up.
Okay.
Because it's overtime.
I understand.
So we just make our pass through and open it up for folks so they can, they want to use the sledding hill or come there and ski or go to the dog parks. Mm-hmm. We don't spend a lot of time, but typically when we come in on Monday, everything gets pushed out all the way to the gutters. And even at Silver Lake Park, we close the road off to the beach. We don't plow that on a weekend. Same at Fox River, we close it off at Lot 2 and don't plow the back end of the park until Monday mornings.
Okay.
Just to try and save money.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But it'll be plowed on a Monday all the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
So today they were all plowed. All
right. Today was an odd day though.
Well, the bike trail wasn't plowed today.
Oh, isn't that heavy?
They don't plow the bike trail.
Yeah, they do. Plow don't you? Plow the bike trail? Bicycle trail?
No.
You don't plow that?
No, the one through town? The city and no. No, there's some guy that plows from past the country club and in that section with his four-wheeler, but I've never seen him, and the sheriff's department has never caught him either, but he's not supposed to be doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't plow any of those trails in the winter. I couldn't do it. Seriously, I just don't have the help in the winter to try and maintain all of that.
Okay.
Thank you, John. Do you have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned. Would anybody like or have a location for a poster for that ice fishing?
The four words. I'll put one up.